what is also necessary is that food is connected also in policy to other sectors, to other aspects of life.
How can we transition our local food systems? Can grassroots projects influence policy on a higher level? What are key elements for a successful community initiative? Locale.
Local.
Shock.
Local.
Cambiamento.
Tahir.
Jirgelekte.
Chakula Ijaya.
Food. Change.
We are.
Slow Food, the podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome to Slow Food, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the beauty and complexity of good, clean and fair food systems. I'm Valentina Gritti, I'm your host and a Slow Food Youth Network activist. On this podcast, we meet change makers around the world who are working towards a more sustainable food system and promote a slow lifestyle. In today's episode, I'm going to tell you some stories of change, stories of impactful grassroots initiatives that are boosting food system transition in different aspects. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the north of Italy, in Tellamonte, for the project Shared Green Deal, a European project which aims to study from a social perspective the implementation of the Green Deal on a local level in different European countries. I have interviewed the project coordinators of four different grassroots initiatives, with the goal of learning more about their projects, but also to see how European policies are impacting their local realities and how their projects can influence policy. First of all, let's start by getting inspired by the different initiatives. Costanza Guazzo is a sociologist working at Milano Statale University with a strong passion for food.
And also the current obsession regarding food is maybe creating a community oven to make bread all together in my neighborhood in Milan. Because I think it would be a great way to reconnect with how food is made and maybe make connection also with producers of the area.
I'm Luca Carisio and I'm really waiting for the oven of Costanza and to share a croissant and focaccias together. And as Costanza, I'm working with the Asfodel Association for the Locomos project. This is one of my biggest side projects. At the same time, also working at Istituto Zooprofilattico, working on animal health and epidemiology.
The Locomos project by Asfodello focuses on the Monferrato rural area in the north of Italy. In this area, there are many vineyards where a lot of pesticides are used.
We decided that we wanted to find a way to spread different ways of doing cultivation that require a few pesticides and an idea of less intense agriculture.
For them, the first step was to create a local network of people who want to contribute to the transition towards more sustainable agriculture.
In practical terms, we organize these meetings with different, very diverse people, citizens, farmers, winemakers, technicians, institutional actors. In general, there was this strong need to spread awareness on the risks because older generations in particular sometimes are a bit rigid and don't want change, but there are already alternatives, and some of the actors that we involved are already making different choices regarding pest control. And so we thought a bit about what we desired for the future of this place, and we all imagined a future where there was more community than where producers and consumers were more linked, knew each other a little bit more, and where there were alternatives that were not alternatives anymore, but common use for pest control. For example, mechanical methods or use of insects to eat other insects that are negative for the plants.
I would say agroecology.
Yeah, in a word.
We talk a lot about finding the way to communicate also to other farmers that there are ways that are economical, sustainable, to do agriculture, reducing the use of pesticides.
Those were Costanze and Luca from Asfodelo. Now let's meet the next project based in the Netherlands.
My name is Janneke Bruil. I work with the municipality of Wageningen in the center of the Netherlands.
My name is Eduardo Cáceres. I work together with Janneke in our bioregion, Stroomgebied Zuid-Veluwe in the Netherlands.
Why is food interesting for you?
Food connects all aspects of life for me. And so it connects people with each other, it connects people with their environment, it connects people with the past and the future.
Great. And could you tell me something about your local project?
So in that sense, we also connect the past with the future. So we look at where we come from. In our bioregion, some of the first agriculture in the Netherlands started. And there are some old practices, some qualities that we love to bring back into the present so that we can have a strong foundation for the future.
Maybe can you explain what is a bioregion for people that don't know about it?
So a bioregion is a geophysical place that is defined, for instance, by the streams of a water, so it can be a watershed, but it also can be hills. And in our case, it's the formation of the glacial hills in the center of the Netherlands and also the River Rhine. And also in the bioregion, culture is a very important aspect because humans have been also formed by the geophysical surroundings. So our culture is really connected to our place.
We are shaped by our surroundings, but we also shape our surroundings. And part of the characteristics of our area is also that people have been coming into this place from outside for a long time. So migration is a very strong strength of us because it brings together old and new knowledge. And for example, we also see that our grains used to come from Turkey. And so we have these connections with other places for a long time.
So in your project, you want to rediscover, let's say, a local food culture based on history, based on the future as well, and connect local producers with consumers.
We're trying to connect the people who produce food with other residents of the area, but we also look beyond food because we are all stewards of our place, and that is about food, but it's also about other aspects of life. So we also bring in people who work in the area of water, we bring in people who work in the area of art, people who do research, people who work in sports or in healthcare, and we all try to look at how we can care for our place together so that in the future the place can also take care of us.
Also, I would say that we're not really, our focus is not connecting food to consumers per se. We try to connect, you know, the citizens, the people that live in our area, we try to connect them with their essence of being a custodian of our place and of nature so that they can become part of nature again. And we see that food can be a good driver for that, or can be an accelerator for that.
And then we also see that especially the agroecological food producers in our area, and we have many because it's always been an area of a lot of experimentation, and especially those producers, those farmers, they have a very strong connection to the land and to the history of the land, and they also have very interesting visions for the future. But other people also need to come on board in order to create that culture that we need so desperately to be resilient in the future.
These were Janneke and Eduardo from Wageningen, the Netherlands. Next project on the line is all about creating sustainable food environments in Stockholm, Sweden. Let's meet Pelle from the organization Reformoten, working for a positive global food system where it's easy to eat right.
Because I grew up on this farm, this is a meat production farm in rural Sweden, and obviously my parents were working constantly with the farm. So from the very beginning, I had a strong sensitivity to what it means to produce food, but also what it means to be a food producer, how impossible it is to live as a food producer in maybe Northern Europe, broadly speaking.
At Reformaten, all their actions are based on research and empirical data, and they consider citizens as eaters and not consumers.
In Sweden, in Stockholm, where we work, where we are based, we often find that food system work, or maybe sustainability work in general, are happening in silos, And then it could be that one silo work is actually harming or preventing another silo work. So from the very first beginning, we decided to have this holistical approach on food system change, because as you know, as we all know, that's the only way to do food system change, since we're trying to do this huge systemic shift and transformation. And we are working with a lot of different initiatives. We are working with some research initiatives where we are the ones that can take the research that is being done into the political side. We are making a yearly investigation where we see what the political parties in parliament actually are willing to do. And then we pick up the new recommendations from, could be academia or national agencies, and actually test and check to see what the political parties are willing to do. So because of doing that, we are very used and we know how to navigate the political landscape of Sweden when it comes to food system transformation. Then we have another side of us, which is exploring and finding how the new food system can look like. Because we do fantastic work in the food system. We do fantastic work with food environment and how to design the space and this interface between the food system and the eater. But meanwhile, we also do work with exploring how a new food system can be.
Developing this vision for a new food system is the core of their project within the Shared Green Deal.
Our project aims to find action points for how to make Stockholm the most sustainable and healthy food environment in the world. It's of course the starting point, but to make a better food environment of Stockholm. Our project has really done that because we have been able to, first of all, write a vision, to co-write a vision together with all of the fantastic actors, local change makers, as we call each other and them throughout the experiment, to write a vision where Stockholm is the best food environment possible, and then to connect action points and pathways to this vision. And these pathways, it's actually 12 strategic policy recommendations, will be Reformaten's input to the new food strategy of the city of Stockholm. So there we believe that we really are doing it. We worked up towards the food environment writings in the common agricultural policy of the new Green Deal. And then we sort of used those supranational writings to be able to work on food environment on a very local scale. And now we actually have food environment recommendations to give to food policy on the most local scale. Mm-hmm.
Can you give me one or two examples of these action points?
We have divided them into three categories or three dimensions, and that is cultivation and commercial and governance. And with governance, we mean the city, so how the city serves food that is publicly funded, and how the city manage roads, and how the city is planned when you build it, and etc. A classic example is to have commercial free zones in the city. We want to find cities where you don't have any commercial at all. So these are actually zones where you can be an eater or a citizen, and you don't have to be a consumer being exposed to commercial. And we find examples of this, for example, in Iceland, in Reykjavik. They've been doing commercial free zones. Then we have this action point of the Stockholm farmer, where we suggest that everyone that is publicly employed, so employed by the city, should have the right to cultivate, so should be connected to city farming through a program where you are the Stockholm farmer. There are also super concrete actions where we say, for example, that the open markets in the city where they sell vegetables and food shouldn't have to pay any rent for using the space. So they should be able to do the markets rent-free of being on the land of the city. Mm-hmm. And we have 12 of these points connected to our vision.
Very nice.
Yes.
That was Pelle from Reformaten, Stockholm. Now let's move to Slovakia, where Susanna is carrying out a grassroots project to improve the food offer at school canteens.
I'm Susanna Kupcová. I'm from organization Klimatě potřebuje, which is in translation Climate Needs You. So our organization focuses on topics of climate change in a local context in Slovakia. And I'm coordinating local hub of activists in Košice, which is a small city on the east of Slovakia. Our project is about school food meals and the local food system. So basically we are thinking about like how we can provide like local food to schools, especially within Košice as a city, but also we think about like regional level. We don't work so much on the topic of like nutrition and the recipes. There's a project, Really Healthy School, which is working with that in Slovakia. But we are thinking more about like systemic change, how we can get local food from local farms to the schools.
Because now what is the situation like?
The situation in Košice, in a city, is that school food like is purchased through the city. So it means that the city needs to make like the whole procurement process to buy supplies for schools. And it means that then the small local farms are excluded from it because it's like a huge amounts that need to be supplied for the whole year for like big amount of schools, which for small farms is not possible to fulfill. One thing which would need to change is that the school food would be purchased directly from schools, not through the city. So then schools can buy directly from the local farmers because the amounts will not be so big so that they need to go through the procurement process. So the buying of the food would be much easier. In Slovakia, we are lucky that most of the schools, they have their own canteens. So this thing is kind of like a solved and it's really great. But if we want to have a quality food in the school canteens, then we need to give opportunity to these canteens to buy directly and to decide like who will supply them.
That was Susanna from Košice, Slovakia. Now that we've met our change makers, let's see if and how European policies are affecting their local contests. Let's start from Luca and Costanza. They tell me that in their case, the European pesticides regulation is a bit tricky because it allows the use of banned pesticides in case of an emergency situation.
It's related to control some emergencies like invasive alien species. So theoretically, you should define the barriers, the borders of the problem, define where you should apply the banned pesticides, how long, and also you should define which solution you are looking for. But what is currently happening is that every year they just renovate the same request for using the banned pesticide to an emergency authorization process.
Yeah. So if there is an emergency, and each year there is an emergency for a particular insect, let's say, or virus, you can say, okay, this is an exception, I will use this banned product, and even though it's illegal usually.
The regulation in terms of pesticide in Europe is quite strict. But then there is the escape from the rule, and what is was so far was that the European administration closed a little bit an eye on what was happening and allowed to abuse of some tools that should be used only in emergency situations that actually are not emergencies. We are talking about pests and insects that actually are in Italy and Europe since 20 years, 30 years, so to consider them emergency seems a bit a stretch concept.
Yeah. Exaggeration.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we started from this problem on a policy level and we work on solution in the area.
Those were Luca and Costanza from Asfodello in Italy. In Košice, Slovakia, the main problem is another one. Let's listen to Susanna.
What influenced us is the situation with local farmers and their like protests against European policies that we don't know really how to approach them like towards some kind of like different thinking about the food, because there is kind of like a not so good narrative around European policies for farmers right now, because you know March. So in February we had like a huge protest in Slovakia. So we are thinking about strategies like how to use the right words to show the value of bringing local food to school canteens, also to farmers, because we think that like people working in school canteens, they know what's the value and they understand it. There needs to be shift in the purchase system. But from farmers to be motivated to get into the system to offer their like their food to local schools, we need to create like networks and connections between them.
That was Susanna from Klimata Potrebuje, Slovakia. And now let's ask Janneke and Eduardo from Wageningen, Netherlands, if there are any European policies that affect their local reality.
Yeah, some of them definitely do. One of them is Natura 2000. So we see this narrative happening that nature can only be nature if the humans are being taken out of nature. And especially if you look at agroecological farmers that cooperate with nature and work together with nature, we don't really agree on the Natura 2000. We believe that as humans we are part of nature and we should take care of nature so that nature can take care of us. So we really would like to see a different approach from the European perspective to the national, to the local perspective when it comes to how we consider ourselves part of nature.
And if we look at it in the other way around, so how does your local project influence local policies?
So we have a local food policy and we have seen that that has helped the local farmers to get together and to understand their role in the bioregion. Now what is also necessary is that food is connected also in policy to other sectors, to other aspects of life, really. And that's what we're trying to do in our bioregion. And we can see that people connect to place, they feel a sense of belonging, but policy hasn't followed that holistic approach yet. And so that would be very interesting to see how policy at all levels really can support those kinds of social processes. And this is also what we've been doing in the Shared Green Deal, and what we've appreciated, that this focus on social processes, on bringing different people together to collaboratively and collectively find their vision for the future. And which is not a sectoral approach, but a very holistic approach.
In case you are carrying out a similar project, or you want to start one, don't miss the last part of this episode, because I have collected some useful tips for you. Pelle Bengtsberg.
If you are, as you ask, a young person that want to work for a food system transformation or for a transitioning of system, connect with other people. And don't fear to connect with people that are outside of your sector or your work. This is what the experiment has really welcomed us to do, and what I think that we all that been doing this experiment has been doing as well, to connect with people and actors and other change makers that not necessarily work with food or within the food system. But for example, with us in Stockholm, we decided to connect with people that are involved in how the food environment looks like. So between you as a person that eats food and this enormous food system of producing, consuming everything, there are so many actors. You have architects, you have journalists, you have city planners, you have artists, you have basically anyone, if you start to talk about it, could be considered an actor within the food environment. And these are the people that we wanted to connect to and to work with. How can this interface between food system and you as an eater look like? So really, truly connect with people that are doing work and that are doing transformative work.
Costanza Guazzo and Luca Carisio.
To start from the context, knowing a bit more about the context, who is there, who might be involved. Sometimes it's unexpected. Maybe citizens might be very curious about something, and the associations of citizens, the associations of farmers might be a good point to start if you want to work in rural areas in general. And then the idea.
Yeah, and I would add also that what I think is needed now is having a kind of analytic, holistic approach. So what was very good in our project was that we had person coming from different background, So from the sociological background, from the agricultural background, and also from the administration background, and mixing together allow to build a common language that could be transferred also in different situations, so to catalyze communication between persons.
Zuzanna Kupciova.
For us, in general, how our organization operates is based on creating local hubs, and it's always great to meet local people, meet with them regularly. We are meeting every 2 weeks, and to create real like community friendships, like real connections between people. And then from this community you have, you like your doors are open to many places, because you know, like through people you know the people. So then whatever topic you choose like to specify on, then through your community, which is really like involved, you can just reach it. Yeah.
Janneke Braul and Eduardo Cáceres.
So one of the things that we have seen is the importance of connecting place to culture and to economy. And we see that if we connect those three things, then we can work on a collective culture of care.
The basis of how we do that is really to build relationships of affect. So we're not bringing people together and put them to work with their brains only to think about what they want for the future and the next steps and the actions they want to take. But we try to connect at a human level, but also build relationships of affect with our environment, with our surroundings, with the place where we are, and to understand where we are, where we come from, and where we want to go.
I hope you have been inspired by these great projects. As you have heard, one of the common grounds of all of them is to create a community, a network of people with different backgrounds who want to contribute to changing the local food system. I would like to thank our guests for their precious input, and thanks to all of you for listening to our podcast. If you like this episode, please share it with your network and join our Telegram group for feedback and questions. This is Valentina Gritti, and you have been listening to Slow Food, the podcast. Ciao!